This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you have reached a higher level of Nerdvana.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks. Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ethan, and I am joined by my other host, Aaron.
Hello, hello, hello.
Today we are talking about the X-Men franchise. We seem to be on a bit of a comic book kick, don't you think?
Well, I mean, you know, that's kind of like what got us started, and, you know, we're in like the summer months, and there's lots of comic book movies coming out, so yeah.
There are a lot of comic book movies coming out, and we're obviously, both of us have freshly seen, or not really freshly seen, but seen within the last week, The Wolverine, the new X-Men flick with Hugh Jackman and, of course, cameos of various others. And this one was directed by James Mangold, if memory serves.
It's actually a movie that has like a lot of, I don't know if you want to call it history or past or like whatever with us. I mean, we've been doing the show long enough to where like we've been doing it longer than like, you know, this movie was in like, you know, development, you know, like long time ago. Directed by Darren Aronofsky. And then, it got misplaced by the tsunami and just like all kinds of stuff. But, you know, now it's a reality. Now it's in, you know, movie theaters, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it and the other X-Men movies. We were just kind of talking about how we want to go about doing this, since there's only, five of them at this point?
Six.
Six. I guess we could have done a top six, but we couldn't go on all the way to 10. But we're just going to do this kind of like the format that we did back in the day when we talked Die Hard. You know, we're just going to kind of talk them in chronological order and, you know, come up to like the latest, and we'll see if it's the greatest, you know, by the end of the show.
Yeah, but before that, we do a little segment sometimes we call Geekly Happenings, of news relevant to us geeks. The thing I really just want to sort of mention is the death of Eileen Brennan.
That's the only thing I wanted to talk about also.
Yeah. A lot of people aren't going to recognize that name, but those of us who are familiar at least with the 1980s movie Clue with Christopher Lloyd, Tim Curry, all those people in it. Exactly. No, not Madeline Stowe. She's not in it.
No. Well, she wasn't dead in the 70s. I mean, in the 80s. But it wasn't Madeline Stowe. It was the other dead one. Well, yes. Terry Garr was in it, but I'm talking about... was Gilda Radner in it? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it.
And Terry Garr was not in it, but anyway.
Okay.
But she played Mrs. Peacock in the movie, and I heard she had passed away at 80 very recently. You know, fun stuff, I suppose. But we're gonna miss her. I really remember watching Clue when I was a kid on VHS, and it having, you know, all the different endings and the DVDs out there. You could find the DVD for this in like Walmart $4 bins. I mean,
it's pretty cheap.
And it's a fun movie. It's proof you can do a good board game atmosphere movie, and this one's really doesn't take itself very seriously. It's good comedy, and she's great in it, you know. So it's Madeline Kahn is the other one. She's the one who's no longer with us. The only reason sort of this sort of rings a bell. Are you familiar with the television show Psych?
Yeah.
Psych for its 100th episode did essentially a riff on the movie Clue. And they had Christopher Lloyd in it. They couldn't have Tim Curry in it because he had already been in the show before. They mentioned Madeline Kahn, obviously, as sort of they were dedicated the episode to her, but Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren, a bunch of people were in it, in the episode, and it played very much like a, like the Clue. It was in a house and they're, you know, trying to, you know, people kept dying, that sort of thing. And they did a live, you could basically, they gave you a phone number and you could vote on who the murderer would be, at the end of the show. And then they'd air the segment where that person was the murderer. And it just reminded me a lot of Clue and, obviously, Eileen Brennan passing away just recently here is something that I really was like, oh, you know, that kind of sucks. But she was also in The Sting in 1973, one of my personal favorite movies. You know, we're talking
I know her from The Last Picture Show. That's yeah. The movie that I saw that I just loved that she is in. That's a really good one. Really good one.
But almost 50 years doing movies, basically, this lady. And so it's sad to see someone like that go. And it's someone that a lot of people don't remember. But The Clue was a fond memory for me anyway. And I know I bought the DVD, and then about 2 weeks later, they put it out on Blu-ray. I was like, you bastards. Oh, well. it's a good buy no matter what. So it's a good buy no matter what. It's a fun movie. But rest in peace, Eileen Brennan. You know, we well, sucks, but these things, I suppose, happen.
They tend to
die, yes, yes. Unlike the X-Men franchise, it does not seem to be dying at all, in fact.
Can we talk one thing before we get into that?
Sure. I mean,
it's not news so much as it is it's rumors, but it's, you know, we're talking comic book movies, and that's pretty much what we do talk about. Did we get a chance? Yeah, we did. We got a chance last show to talk about how the Man of Steel sequel has been announced, that it's going to be a Batman-Superman movie, which you know, leaves us with the, you know, delicious tidbit of, you know, who's going to be playing Batman, Bruce Wayne. Yeah. And you know, we know it's not going to be Christian Bale. He said, you know, time again that he's done. And so at this point, you know, it's in the. It's in the, you know, message boards are ablaze.
Before you get into who they were who Warner Brothers is supposedly wants and whatnot, have you listened to the latest Hollywood Babylon?
I have, and Kevin Smith agreed with you.
I know.
That was awesome.
Great minds think alike, I guess, but that doesn't explain it either. But
we've been smoking a lot of weed lately.
None. I was just really wanting to watch Dread last week, and I still haven't been able to sit down and do it, but
haven't seen it at all.
Oh, it's great. You know how much I liked it.
I want to see it. You know, but you know how I am. Like, I'm gonna come out, I'll say I want to see it. Like, do you know what I finally got around to seeing?
What?
You're re-listening to some early episodes, so I might actually be talking about I really want to see this. But I literally finally just saw Hellboy 2. I've been wanting to see that movie I rented it 2 weeks ago. So
it's a great sequel to Pan's Labyrinth, don't you think?
Oh, sure. You know, it's absolutely a great sequel to Pan's Labyrinth. I liked it better than the first Hellboy. I got to say, I like Pan's Labyrinth better, but I love Hellboy too. That's a really good movie.
But Batman.
Batman.
Yes.
I guess word on the street is, and I don't even know where this news comes from. I think, I don't know if it came out of Comic-Con or something, but there's official word to where this isn't just, you know, message board speculation. But I guess, what's his face? Henry Cavill sat down and did a screen test with a young actor by the name of Tyler Hoechlin. Now, if you're going to know Tyler Hoechlin at all, chances are you're going to know him from MTV's Teen Wolf series.
Yep.
However, I haven't seen that show, so I can't really speak towards it. I don't care. But the thing that I like about it is he is the young actor who played young Michael Sullivan Jr. in the 2000. God damn, is that old? Anyway, the 2000 movie Road to Perdition. Now, Michael Sullivan Jr. was Tom Hanks' son. He was the son that was not killed. He was, you know, pretty much the star of the movie. You know what I mean? And we are talking a young actor, you know, who is, you know, acting opposites the like of Tom Hanks, Paul Newman, freaking Jude Law, fucking James Bond himself, Kieran Hines. I mean, Hines. So, you know, he's playing opposite, you know, all these people, and he was a very good young actor. I'm sorry, I'm just having a hard time getting past that movie being that old. But so that'd be 13 years. So at the time he was 12 years old. At this point, he's 25. And he was a very good young actor, and I don't see that kind of talent going away. Mm-hmm. So if it does happen, it would be, you know, I wouldn't be all fuck it, you know, just, you know, first of all, I doubt I'd be like that no matter who they say, but this could turn out well. And I do want to say this about it, and Ethan can put in his two cents if he wants. But I almost want to say that, you know, because we know he's screen tested, because they released it, we can almost categorically say that we know one person who will not be playing Batman. Because mm-hmm. it just seems like they never seem to release people that have you know, screen tested or who they're talking about that ever get it. I mean, I can't ever think of a time happening about it, but I do remember when. I'll get into two things where I remember something happening. Like they said that you know, back in the day, back when they were making Man of Steel, you know, they were talking to people that had screen tested for it, and the name that kept on popping up there was Matthew Good, the dude that played Ozymandias in the the Watchmen flick. You know, we kept hearing his name, and you know, like. Got to the point where they announced, they're like, and it's this other guy that we never even brought up.
Yeah.
And then, so that happened. And then also recently, we can use this as a juicy little segue to jump into it. But there was, the internet was abuzz with who's going to be playing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the X-Men Days of Future Past, the next movie coming out in the X-Men franchise. And the person that kept on coming up, the person they said they're screen testing, they're really looking at it, was what the hell is his name? Aaron Taylor Johnson, the actor that played Kick-Ass in the Kick-Ass movie,
yeah.
And you know, other things like that. And they're talking about him, and you know, they let's see. I'm honestly kind of stalling so I get the name of the actor that was cast, but I know the guy. I don't remember his name. Ah, okay. So yeah, so they were talking to Aaron Taylor Johnson, the star of the movie Kick-Ass. You know, they seen him. They saw him meeting with director Bryan Singer and things like that. Sounded like it was all wrapped up. And then I think it was about 3 weeks ago. I actually just somehow missed this. I just happened to be looking over the IMDb page. But Quicksilver has been cast, and it's a young actor by the name of Evan Peters. Mm-hmm. You might know the only thing I could think of that people might know him from would be he was in Kick-Ass. He was one of his friends, and he was also in The Office. He played Michael Scott's nephew that he ended up spanking because he was a shitty little worker. That guy, I actually really dig the idea of that kid playing Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been re-listening to some old shows lately, and we were talking Quicksilver, and you know, we all, you know, came up with the whole thing about, you know, we don't like him, he's an arrogant prick, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this Evan Peters kid, I don't know him, never met him, don't know anything about him, but he just got a face that I want to punch. And I think that that is something that would be important for a character like Quicksilver. So, so we don't know if Tyler Hoechlin is or is not going to be Batman, but we know it's not a boring choice. You know, I mean, usually when we're talking, you know, when we're in this point of, you know, talking casting, there's just the dumbest frickin' ideas coming out. Like, you know, I'm surprised we haven't heard, you know, they're going to give George Clooney another shot or just something ridiculous like that. So it's interesting, and it's I have a suspicion that we're going to hear, you know, official news pretty soon. Do you have any thoughts on Tyler Hoechlin or even Evan Peters for that matter?
For Evan Peters, yeah, he was one of his Kick-Ass's friends. Like I don't remember the main character's name anymore, but he was one of his friends, and he has been in other stuff. As Quicksilver. Him as Quicksilver, I have no real problem with. I mean, off the top of my head, really. I've seen him in other stuff. He's been in a lot of other, you know, other things, mm-hmm. TV, movies, that sort of thing. So, you know, good to see him. Good to see him show up in a movie. Now, Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Scarlet Witch supposed to be in it as well, or is it just?
I don't know.
I don't see her on the. I don't see her on the list, so she might not be confirmed yet.
I don't even know if they said that she's going to show up at all. I know they were saying for a long time that the Quicksilver is going to pop up in this one, and he's going to be like the first bridge in between this and the Avengers 2, because Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are both going to be in Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just looking at the cast list, there's some interesting ones that have popped up in there, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. Sunspot, Blink, Bishop, Havoc. Mm-hmm. Warpath. He was always a fun one. You know, we can get into that here in a minute. You know, we are getting into the X-Men film franchise, or at least the X-Men universe. And as far as, you know, even cinema wise and comic book wise, growing up, I'm most familiar with the X-Men from the 1990s, when they sort of exploded. And they were everywhere. You had the animated series, and you had obviously the first hint and the first rumors of an X-Men film back in 93, 94, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember.
Wasn't James Cameron going to direct that?
Yeah, he was attached to it with Carl Crow back in the late 80s, actually. Mm-hmm. And that obviously didn't go anywhere, and he left to actually go work on Spider-Man. And Carl Crow went bankrupt. Yeah, Carco went bankrupt. The rights reverted back to Marvel Studios, and they tried to sell it to Columbia. Columbia didn't take it, and then they sold it to Fox eventually in 1994. And then they developed it for what turned out to be, you know, 6 years before they put out a movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least they got a movie out, right?
Sure.
It was really with getting into the X-Men movies, is it was the first really, obviously Blade was the first sort of Marvel movie, but not, you know, a lot of people didn't really realize that. X-Men was the first overtly Marvel film that came out, you know. It was the first one
I think what people are trying to say, and I don't know if they understand it or not, but what they're trying to say is, when they're trying to say that, you know, X-Men's are the real first one, even though Blade came out first, I think what they're trying to get across is X-Men is you can pretty easily, you know, tie in the successful comic book movie back to the first X-Men flick, you know, the original one that we're getting into. This one, you know, it did gangbusters at the theaters, did really well, got a lot of people excited for more comic book movies.
I mean, it was one of those things where they finally got it right. You know, I mean, for years we've been teased with all these comic book movies, or you know, had to sit through bad TV movies and Nick Fury and Justice League and crap. And what happened, really, I think the big turning point was, as they were developing these things, was basically The Matrix happened, you know. They did a superhero movie with a big budget. It didn't have any, you know, outright, this is Superman, this is Batman type of thing. But this was definitely the first time that they had a Marvel did a movie where they did really, really, really well. And it was very overtly a Marvel movie. It was, you know, Blade being what it was, most people just considered that to be, it's a Wesley Snipes action flick. Okay, cool. And it was a very obscure character. X-Men, however, fuck, everybody knew about X-Men in the 1990s. It was fucking huge.
It was gigantic.
I mean, it's the X-Men number one, the Jim Lee X-Men number one still is the highest selling comic book ever, I believe. Millions of copies. Yep. And, you know, it's what sort of started this big, crazy comic book boom in the early 90s. And it obviously took them quite a while. It took them to the 2000 to put it out. And sort of looking at how that first movie came about, I don't know if you've read about it.
I was actually just reading about it earlier.
That they
it looked like they sat on it for a while, for like a year.
They developed it. Like Joss Whedon took a run at the script. They had a lot of different, you know, iterations going here and there, until they finally settled on it. They really wanted Bryan Singer to direct it after Usual Suspects, And Bryan Singer was like, no, I hate comic books. I'm not a comic book guy, blah, blah, blah. And turned it down several times before picking it up after they basically said, sit down, read some of the comics, watch the anime, some of the animated series and figure it out. You know, this is good stuff. And it, today, I think that kind of a reaction would not be what people want, because a lot of people, I don't get why people sort of are in love with Bryan Singer doing X-Men movies, you know, because I honestly, at this point, because now we live in a world with Iron Man, Thor, Avengers, all, you know, the Dark Knight and all that.
Batman, Superman, yeah.
Exactly. And how well do you think that the first X-Men movie holds up? You know, now 13 mm-hmm. years after it came out.
I am the wrong person to ask that question to, Ethan, because I think you can back me up on this. I never really liked this movie.
Sure.
You know, it came out, and I want to put this, I'll put this on front street. When this movie came out, I was 20 or 19 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, young and full of piss and vinegar and, you know, just, you know, pure hyperbole and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I still, and I have my problems with it, and I still have the same problems with it.
It's, you know, very, like, it's very Hollywood. It is.
It's very segmented too. I thought it was very segmented, and I especially noticed it when I was reading a plot synopsis, and was like, okay, you know this happens with Magneto. Okay, now this happens with Professor X. Okay, now this happens with there wasn't like a whole lot of the team element going on until the end, and then I thought a lot of the stuff at the end of it, you can kind of say it falls flat, or you can kind of, yeah, I don't know if it fell flat, if they're setting something up, or if it was just bad writing, but like the payoffs at the end of the movies didn't, like the last fights didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, Wolverine took out Mystique, and Cyclops took out Sabretooth, and Storm took out Toad, and, you know, it was just like this weird thing, and, you know, I read Wolverine for years, and, you know, I was all like, cool, I have a movie with Wolverine and Sabretooth in it, and I can finally see a Wolverine Sabretooth fight, which he kind of did.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Scott took him out, and I was just all like, "Eh." So whatever. I mean,
well, in the end, what the first X-Men movie gave us was Hugh Jackman. I mean, hands down.
Absolutely, positively, it gave us Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. But let us not discount, fucking Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Oh, sure.
Now, Patrick Stewart, I think the Patrick Stewart was just a foregone conclusion forever that he should play, Professor X. I mean, I don't ever remember a time when
back in 1994 when they were first talking about an X-Men movie, he was who they immediately said, dude, Professor X, it's Patrick Stewart. It's got to be. You know, and that was one of those things that was like, I mean, it's no brainer casting, and he of course would do it, and it was just like, okay, he's perfect. He looks just like him. It's, you know, just cast him and be done with it. There was no thinking beyond that. You know,
right?
It was,
and we also got to remember, you know, that we're talking 2013, and we're saying, you know, Ian McKellen as Magneto, and of course is brilliant because he was badass as Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings. This predates Lord of the Rings, and, you know, like I knew freaking Ian McKellen from stuff like, you know, Last Action Hero and Gods and Monsters and Apt Pupil, and, you know, I was excited as a motherfucker about this, and everyone else was all like, who the hell's that? And I'm like, trust me, this is gonna be great.
Well, I remember when they had to sort of work some scheduling around so he could be Magneto and be Gandalf. Yeah. You know, I remember there was some worry about that, and they basically came to an agreement and got it scheduled out right because, you know, that whole thing. And there was also a bunch of people who were pissed off because they didn't want a gay Magneto. You know, and it's like, who gives a shit?
Fuck
right?
That.
Yeah.
Who cares? I mean, there's just going to be some people without class or taste in this world.
And this was also, it should be pointed out, this was also at the dawning of the, you know, this is at the start of the whole internet, you know, the crazy internet boom. Yeah. So it was before, you know, you had sites, you know, crazy sites like, you know, really, you had some sites, but it wasn't like it is today. I mean, by any stretch of the word.
I know. I remember waiting one time after game night with you. I remember one time sitting there for 5-10 minutes letting a letting the first poster load, you know, like the first looks that we got of like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, because that was, and like you said, if nothing else, this movie gave us Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and that cannot be discounted.
And I say this movie, not only did this movie give us him as Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, it gave us Hugh Jackman. Wow. You know, it's what broke him into the American film market.
Yep. Absolutely.
And he was like hired 3 weeks into filming. You know, I mean, it was going to be Doug Gray Scott. The only good thing to come out of Mission Impossible 2 was that Doug Gray Scott had to drop out of being Wolverine. We got Hugh Jackman.
And, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, on my mind lately because, we just saw the Wolverine and, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we talked about it probably over a year ago. We talked about our favorite performances of all time, and I think one of my favorite performances was Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, because of how important he is, and blah 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 blah. And I completely 100% agree with that. However, I do think that, and this is something that there's no way to substantiate. There's no way to really judge it, but I do think that, as great as, Robert Downey Jr. is, I think that Hugh Jackman loves the character more.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Hugh Jackman loves the character of Wolverine a ton. I mean, and how many movies has he been in now?
As Wolverine, 6.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who's appeared in all of the X-Men films. Absolutely every single one.
Mm-hmm. So... And he's great. I remember, young Hyperbolic Aaron, and they said, oh, Doug Gray Scott isn't on it. We got this Australian actor called, Hugh Jackman. I'm like, who the fuck is that? And I look him up. I'm like, oh, bullshit. He can't play him because he's too tall. And,
yeah, he's like a foot taller than him.
That's not me anymore. Not me anymore, but,
Yeah.
And then the movie came out, and he was fantastic as Wolverine. I mean,
I remember seeing the first pictures of him and just remembering that, hey, they got the hair right. It doesn't look stupid. It actually looks good.
Yeah, it totally works.
I also remember the big deal that they were in black leather. They weren't in their outfits. And in a good Marvel fashion, and this was the first time they sort of did this, the first time they actually acknowledged it, is they did that wink in the movie of, what would you rather have, yellow spandex? That sort of humor, that sort of nudge, nudge, wink, wink to the comic book fans is what really endears these movies, or comic book movies in general, to the comic book fan. And this was really the first one that did it. And it was very obvious that this movie did, obviously it went through, hundreds of rewrites, tons and tons of, 6 years of development before it came out. But we finally got this movie, and it has its flaws, but it's a good starting point for, Marvel films, and it's a good starting point for the X-Men franchise. Let me preface everything here by saying, when I was really into comics in the early to mid 90s, I read a lot of X-Men books. But then I really got burnt out on X-Men books because there were a good 30 X titles per month at one point. And, it's part of what eventually made Marvel declare bankruptcy, that they had so much mutant stuff going on. But the thing about the X-Men universe in general is it's always felt very secluded within the Marvel universe. It's always says, there's the other Marvel stuff, but then there's the X-Men universe, and it's always been the real popular one that everyone looks at. That has changed in recent years because of the Avengers, because of Iron Man, Thor, Captain America. That stuff is becoming much more prevalent, and the X stuff, just with me, I've ignored the X-Men comics for over 10 years at this point.
I hear stuff here and there, but I never want to, I'll hear rumblings about stuff that happens, but it's never anything that that grabs me and makes me want to read.
Sure.
But like the thing that got me, into comics and X-Men especially, as I heard about the upcoming story that was, in Fatal Attractions, and I heard that Wolverine was going to lose his adamantium. Mm-hmm. And I've said it time and time again that just something about that idea just really grabbed my imagination, and I just really wanted to read it. And from Wolverine 75 to Wolverine 150, I collected, and that was a long time. And I read it, and I got the oh, hell, well, Origins, I got that. And, you know, I collected, you know, 1 through 70. I collected 1 through 150. And, you know, it was something I was into in a big, bad way. But X-Men is something, I'm going to get this part out of the way so I don't have to just squeeze it in elsewhere. But X-Men is a series that I never really had. I was, you know, I don't have my fond memories of it like you do, because, like, I didn't really read it too much. You know, I read Fatal Attractions, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then I followed it off in the direction of, you know, Wolverine and, you know, wherever it took me there. But the X-Men proper title, you know, being, you know, X, at the time we were reading it, there was X-Men and I think Uncanny X-Men and X-Force and Excalibur and stuff like that. Like, the X-Men proper and Uncanny X-Men, I didn't like the way that it was a team book in the 90s. It was a team book, and it's still a team book. But it had a triple whammy of Deus Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had Professor X, Jean Grey, or Wolverine was going to fix everything, and you had dozens of characters, you know, all with their own special, you know, unique and cool powers, but they were never allowed their moment to shine, and it was always you know, Professor X, Jean Grey, or Wolverine, and I got sick of it. And yeah, that's something that hasn't really gone away for me. And it's just something that I would have to hear something major to make me want to read it. And I don't know if there could be anything that, you know, because, like, I've heard stuff that's happened with Wolverine, and you know, he was always my favorite X-Men. And I would think if anything would get me back into it nostalgia-wise, it would be something with Wolverine. And, you know, he's gone through all kinds of shit, like, since then. House of M, you know, it's when he got his memories back. And you would think that would grab me and make me want to read it. And mm-hmm. It didn't. You know, it just, I think that I'm done with X-Men, and it's because of the fact that it's a team book that isn't really presented as teams.
Sure. And it was House of M that actually, I've read House of M, and that was sort of the Bendis run, and that was sort of the last X-Men, real X-Men thing I read, was House of M, and it was really good, but it also really was heavily entrenched in the Avengers, beyond that. And that's one thing they can't do in the movies because of the licensing issue. With the first X-Men movie, though, I thought it was kind of ambitious for them to start it off with a big ensemble movie like that. And say what you will, pretty much this movie, you have Hugh Jackman basically coming out shining in this movie.
Sure.
And then from every X-Men movie beyond this, he's pretty much the star. And X2, X3, all those.
It's smart.
Except for, obviously, for X-Men First Class. But
still managed to steal the show in that one.
Yes,
still he did. He was in it
one line.
Seconds, one line, and he managed to steal the show.
Yes, yes. But X2.
It's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, but X2. Let's move on to X2.
Okay.
X2 came out in 2003. Also, Bryan Singer came back to direct it. And I know you like this one, correct?
I do like this one.
Why did you like this one?
You know, I was thinking about it. I've been thinking about it since we decided that we're gonna talk X-Men movies, and I don't know if I have an answer of why I like it. I think this is a really weird thing to like about it, but I thought it was really brave making Stryker the bad guy.
Yes.
You know, because in the first movie, you had, you know, the Acolytes of Evil, where you had, you know, Toad and Mystique and Magneto and fill in the blank, and, you know, had all the, and so, like, you would think that, like, the natural progression of the story would be to make it, you know, Mr. Sinister or Apocalypse or, you know, whomever, you know, just basically turning up that to 11. But instead, you know, they were smart. They listened to the audience, and the audience really reacted well to Wolverine. And so they made it a largely Wolverine story. I know that, again, there's other stories going on there. And, you know, you had the whole thing going on with Jean, and Nightcrawler showed up and stuff like that. But it was a largely Wolverine story. And it was cool that they made a non-mutant the bad guy. You know, it was William Stryker, a guy with a, you know, grudge against, you know, mutants, you know, because of his son and because his wife got killed by, it was his son, right?
Yes.
His son killed his wife accidentally or whatever, and he gave him a lobotomy, and he uses him as a living weapon. Now, I also did really dig, you know, Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. It was Alan Cumming was brought in to play, you know, Nightcrawler, and he, you know, worked really well visually. I like how they figured, you know, it was like one of those things that a lot of people are like, you know, how the hell are they going to, you know, pull off the BAMF? You know, how are they going to make that, you know, it'll look hokey if he just disappears and shows up otherwhere. And, you know, and they, you know, fix that by putting like smoke vapor in the air. There's a really cool, I love the opening scene when he's going up to the president. You know, I like all that about it. I think the thing that I really, really, really dug about this movie was I loved the attack on the X-Mansion and Wolverine killing the shit out of Stryker's men.
Yeah.
I really dug this, that.
That was something you didn't get in the first movie was Wolverine basically doing his thing. And in the comics they pointed out, and in the movies they pointed out, it's like this is a dude that has six knives he carries around with him at all times. And, you know, going back to the comic books, when I read the New Avengers when they started that up after the House of M stuff and Wolverine joined the X-Men, Wolverine basically talks to Captain America and says, "You don't want me on the team because I kill people." And he says something to the effect of, "I can't," you know, shows him his claws and goes, "I can't pull these. You know, these kill people, and I can't stop that from killing people." And that's really sort of what that second movie, you got to see that. You got to see Wolverine basically say, "Fuck it," you know?
I remember seeing this in the theater with you. And I remember, I've said it before, there was an audible gasp in the theater with that first guy that he just dug both of his claws into. It was like, oh my God, you know, what? Yeah, you know, the other one, you know, that was like his big exclamation. And the first one was when he stabbed Mystique. But, you know, this one, he's running around, he's just killing guys and, like, you know, stabbing them in the chest and, you know, just destroying everything. And it was just, you know, I mean, this was, you know, the Wolverine that, you know, I was more familiar with. And, you know, it was a good flick. I have a hard time putting into words why I like it so much. There's a lot of scenes that I like. I like how they didn't automatically just, you know, turn it up to 11. I liked how you still had, you know, the repercussions from the first one. You had Mystique, where she was still impersonating the senator. You had, you know, Magneto, who got out of jail. You know, you had all that stuff going on, but there was also, they didn't feel forced, and there was also the new story of what was Stryker. I did really dig that about it. I mean, what were your thoughts on this one?
X2, I agree. What I really liked about it was that it wasn't just Magneto's bad guy and moving on. It was, this is a new bad guy. He is the villain. He is the bad guy to both groups. And what I've always liked about the X-Men movies is that dynamic between, Xavier and Magneto. How that's the whole, it's the cliched thing. People go into it all the time. It's the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X thing. That's fine. That's great. What X2 did great was it introduced a third basic factor, saying, "Well, there's not just one side to this this conflict here. You have this guy who's coming in, and he wasn't a mutant. That's what I liked of it. He was a human villain, you know."
And that was one of the things I really liked about it. Choosing Stryker as the villain is it did legitimize Magneto's fears. You know, in the first movie, you know, there were some people that were saying, you know, bad things about mutants, but that isn't enough to you would think that it would drive people or drive mutants to want to kill all the Homo sapiens. You know, I mean, just, you know, Magneto's got thick skin. He was in a concentration camp. I think he can handle somebody calling him a freak. But it's when people are, you know, trying to pull, you know, out and out genocide is it does put an actual legitimate threat behind, you know, why Magneto is the way that he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved, you know, his escape. Really, everything in that movie just sort of fit really well together. You had a great, you had really good casting all around. And it was just, especially at the time in 2003 when it came out, was you know, just like, keep, you know, God, these just keep getting better. This is fucking awesome. Sweet. I mean, obviously, we hadn't had the Marvel movies yet. The Marvel Studios stuff yet, but this was, you know, it's awesome. This is great. We got Spider-Man, we got X-Men. This is awesome. This is going to be great. And X2, just really sort of resonates as probably, a lot of people say it's the best in the series.
For a long time there, you know, I would say before, you know, like again, you know, Iron Man came out, people loved Iron Man, but it wasn't as, it didn't have like the prestigious shine that it does now, where, mm-hmm. you know, the first Iron Man movie is considered, you know, amongst, if not the best, you know, comic book movie to have ever come out for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
X2 was in that discussion. You know, for mm-hmm. the longest time, it was X2 and Spider-Man 2 were the movies that people, you know, would say is like the best, you know, comic book movie ever. And I would agree that this is that, you know, at the top of the X series, and it, you know, and it made me like an X-Men movie, and you know, that's a rare thing for me. So yeah, I do like this one quite a bit. I don't quite get the title X2 X-Men United. I don't know
why
I felt the need to put that in there.
It doesn't really fit. That just sort of goes to, I think, is the studio not going, well, we don't want to just release an X2 or X-Men 2. And that's the same thing they did with X3, is they changed it to X-Men Last Stand. X-Men
Last Stand.
Which I want to get to talking about that one.
Let's move right on into that one.
A lot of people give this movie shit. And I think it's because they have they have this colored opinion of Bryan Singer, that the man touches the X-Men movies and he turns them into gold. And he left the project to go do Superman Returns, which was arguably a terrible movie. Arguably a terrible movie about a super stalker who hangs around outside of Lois Lane, the bobblehead's house. Anyway, X-Men Last Stand is directed by Brett Ratner this time. Which, you know, was originally going to do Superman, and then, you know, Bryan Singer, and anyway, now he's doing X-Men 3. Was it, I think this all had the unfortunate problem of coming out after X-Men 2, and so a lot of people were a lot harder on it because they have this shiny sort of opinion of X-Men 2. And X3 was not bad. It's not great, but it's not this steaming pile of crap.
I certainly like it better than the first one.
I do too.
I like it better than the first one.
I do too. I mean, in this one, you get Iceman, you get Colossus. Hell, you get the Danger Room in the beginning of this fucking movie, and that's something we hadn't seen before. Yes, and you
see Sentinel Eyes.
You get multiple men, you get a lot of things, and it's that whole, you have to separate yourself from the comic books. How many times have they redone origins in comic books? The movies are their own universe, and you have to accept that and move on.
I've heard all the complaints about, you know, like Iron Man 3 and The Dark Knight and Man of Steel, and, you know, I've heard all the complaints about all these movies, okay? And, you know, whether I agree with them or not, it's irrelevant, okay? This one, I've never really heard. You know, like, and I've never really got into it because I don't feel particularly strongly about this movie. I think it's fine. But, like, whenever anybody talks about it, they say, I don't like it because it sucks. Now, dear listeners, if you ever want anybody to take you seriously and they say, why don't you like this movie? Don't ever say it sucks or why do you like this? Because it's awesome. That doesn't help us. That's ridiculous. And telling me that X-Men 3 sucks, I guess I just don't get it.
Yeah, you need to.
I don't get it.
It'd be a bit more specific, is what you're saying. You know, it's like you can't just say, "Oh, it's a piece of crap," because it's a piece of crap.
And then a lot of people, like, you know, and I have heard people say stuff like, "Oh, they didn't like it that they killed Professor X," which, fuck you. A, he's dead now. B, he's died several times. I don't care. Then they said, oh, you know, Scott isn't in it again. A, I don't care. B, he was doing the Superman movie. And C, I don't care. And, you know, that he was in it a little bit. And, you know, they killed mm-hmm. him or did whatever it is that they did with him. And you have that. And then I guess my big thing that, you know, I have heard people complain that they didn't like the way that that they changed the death of the Dark Phoenix from the comic books, and I could not disagree more. I hated the death of the Dark Phoenix in the comic books, and I thought it was badass in this
movie. Oh, yeah, because in the comic book, she just gets blasted by a laser battery on the dark side of the moon. Yeah,
shot with the space gun. I'm like, really? Is that what you got for me?
Yeah.
This was cool. You know, it was neat. You know, Wolverine was walking through that disintegration field, and mm-hmm. you know, you'd see his, you know, skeleton show up and then grow back and show up, and he walks up to her and stab her, and then there's the pathos and the tragedy and whatnot, you know, that, you know, goes into that because mm-hmm. of his feelings for her and et cetera. And, you know, we'll get to it in a bit. But, you know, that also did play into the plot of, you know, X-Men or the Wolverine, you know, shitty title, but, you know, whatever. But that part of the plot did, you know, play into the Wolverine as well. So we got that going on. I like this movie. OK. I mean, I like that part a lot. I really I thought it was like a great scene when, you know, Iceman finally went full Iceman. I thought that was badass.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that. I liked the scene.
Juggernaut was funny.
Yeah, that was good. You know, I mean, again, I do have my problems with it.
We got a fastball special at the beginning of the movie.
We got a fastball special. One thing that I wasn't a big fan of is I wasn't a big fan of the scene when Mystique got turned back into a human, and then Magneto just left her because I didn't believe that would happen. But, you know, mm-hmm. oh well. You know, it was one part of a movie. I didn't like that. I didn't like that Rogue chose to go back to being a human at the end of the movie. Although it was kind of neat because if anybody would, it'd be her. You know, because her power is pretty shitty. So, I mean, again, you know, these are personal preference things. I don't think it makes this a steaming pile of dog shit because it's not the movie I would not make, you know?
Yeah. And it's definitely a movie that gets a real bad rap. I think it's still an enjoyable flick, to be honest.
Sure.
Now, you know, they were going sort of every 3 years, and then after that, they did X-Men Origins Wolverine, the first sort of solo movie, and it's a prequel.
Yes.
And this is another one that gets a lot of shit. In fact, it has a 38% rating on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, 67% from the audience.
Truth be told, I'm amazed it's that high, Ethan.
Yeah,
talk a lot of shit on this movie,
and I've said it before. It was I saw this in theaters, and I was like, it's okay. And then I saw it at home, and I liked it a lot better on the small screen. You know, I mean, it's one of those that has grown on me over the years. And there's a lot of people who go off on, you know, it's like this is just goes to show you that if you hinge a movie on one character on Hugh Jackman on Wolverine, then it's just not a viable film. And I'm like,
what about the previous three?
I'm like, yeah,
pretty much did it then too.
Pretty much. This movie, X-Men Origins Wolverine, did very well. I mean, it ended up making $179 million in the U.S. and $373 million worldwide. So, I mean, it more than did its thing, you know. And you know, they keep going on about, you know, on whether or not this new one's going to be doing as well type of thing. I'll get into that here in a minute. But this movie has its flaws, and I think it was a lot of people who are these rabid Deadpool fans absolutely loathe and hate and want this movie to die in a fire because of how they treated Deadpool. And you know, it's like, I think Ryan Reynolds just must think that, you know, if I'm in a comic book movie, it just bodes horribly, does not bode well, because he's in Blade Trinity, he's in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and he's in obviously Green Lantern, and all three of which get sort of derided on by fans. This movie did a good job of sort of progressing the story, of having you know, Magneto sort of coming up and doing his thing, and the whole Phoenix thing, and it wasn't what people wanted or expected, but it's what they got. I'm with you. I didn't really like the original Dark Phoenix story is okay. But then it quickly gets away from things, you know, it gets away from because in this one, they didn't do the Hellfire Club. They didn't do all that. And after all that, after they get past all that in the comic books, it just sort of falls apart.
Am I having a stroke or something?
Because
we were talking about Wolverine, and then you just seemed to segue into X-Men 3. I was like, whoa.
I guess I got that on the brain, the whole Phoenix thing. But okay, moving into X-Men.
Talk about the Phoenix. No. Talk about the Phoenix thing. You know, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That I completely unaware of the people complained about.
I just sort of looked down and I saw the Phoenix and was like, yeah, okay, I need to address that. The whole Dark Phoenix thing, the whole Phoenix saga, the Dark Phoenix saga, if you love it so much, just watch the animated series.
There you go. They did that real well.
Yeah, well, they did it pretty much directly off the comic, and that's what you get. And I just don't think it translates well as a movie, you know? And yeah, it would have been cool to see the big giant Firebird. I think that outfit, the Phoenix outfit, would have looked kind of hokey, and it would have looked very out of place in the X-Men films because of the way they've done the X-Men films. But, you know, it was also clearly a X2 was totally starring Wolverine. X3 was also totally starring Wolverine. I mean, he's the hero at the end who does what needs to be done.
Hey, can we talk about Kelsey Grammer since we got back to X3?
Sure.
I liked him. You know, I mean,
so did I.
I don't particularly have a strong opinion of Kelsey Grammer, but I thought that he did very well as Hank McCoy, as Beast in this movie.
Yeah.
He was a fun one to see show up, I thought.
Now that,
you know, because
the only real bad thing I would have to say about X3 was Angel was just a waste in the movie. But
yep.
I love Ben Foster, but he had him being in the movie at all was just pretty much a waste. But I really liked Kelsey Grammer as Beast. I thought he did a fine job, to be honest. You know, he had the voice, he had the mannerisms down. The makeup was fantastic, and
it was neat seeing him in a suit.
Yeah,
I like that. It was cool seeing him in a suit.
I mean, they got Hank McCoy. I mean, they got Beast down, and it worked well. You know, and I think people sort of discount that because it's like, oh well, they didn't get the Phoenix right, so fuck that movie. And when in actuality, it's like, well, they got a lot of right in this movie, and it's actually not bad.
I think I've seen this movie twice, and I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah. But back to Wolverine, I suppose. Origins Wolverine. I got sidetracked. As I said, I liked it. The villain was kind of weak in the movie. Obviously, it felt like they were going to the well one more time with Stryker being the bad guy. But
I don't agree with you, Ethan.
Why is that?
I agree with you because I felt that yes, Stryker was the villain in the movie, absolutely. But I felt that he was more of an impetus for the villains because of Stryker's action. It led into the falling out between Creed and Wolverine, and it led to the creation of Weapon X, aka Deadpool. You know, he was absolutely in the movie. He was absolutely a villain. But going back to the well, I thought it was cool because you had all the setup in X-Men 2 with all this, and now it's showing that story, and it's showing that this guy, he knows his shit, and so it gave us and also I would say that this is my favorite X-Men movie, and it's most people's least favorite X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you that I don't know X-Men movies very
well.
Is way off center. But I really dig this movie. You know, one thing I love about this movie is it gave us Sabretooth correctly. You know, Tyler Mane looked fine. He looked the part, kind of. But visuals are not everything in a movie.
I was just going to say, if anything, this movie gave us the Sabretooth we fucking wanted, you know?
Yeah, that was badass.
And the Sabretooth in this movie is so finally done. And what is the actor's name that played him
Liev Schreiber. Yep.
And he did a great Victor Creed, great Sabretooth. Yeah. You know, you get into the whole, oh, are they brothers? That kind of thing. The whole X-Men Origins, Wolverine Origins thing. And that's like, I don't care. We're in the movie universe and I don't care. He did a great job of making this not just I'm just a big guy who growls role. He did
Sabretooth smash.
Exactly. He was sinister. He was scary. And I think the other thing that turned this movie, that fans got pissed off about was Gambit. I, however, have never been a Gambit fan, so I didn't care.
Again, but what's the problem with Gambit in the movie, though? He was fucking close enough.
Yeah.
He threw shit and exploded. He used a cane. He looked the part. He did the accent. You know, he had cards. I don't see anything to complain about in that other than the fact that Gambit is in the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's a retarded argument. I don't like this movie because it's got a character in it I don't like. Well, guess what, buddy? There's dozens of X-Men. Chances are there's going to be some of them show up that you don't like.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't get the complaints against Gambit in the movie. If you don't like Gambit, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think that they – I'm not going to say they nailed him. I mean, we didn't have the Hugh Jackman-level brilliance, but they got it. You know, they did fine as far mm-hmm. as I was concerned with the character.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I've never been a Gambit fan, so I didn't care.
I liked him when I was like, a kid.
Yeah. You know, I just know – a lot of people love him, but he's never done it for me, and I didn't really care. I thought he did just fine in the fucking movie, to be honest. And like I said, when I saw it, my first initial reaction to the movie was, it's okay. And then it's really, really grown on me since then. And it's a movie I really encourage people to go give it another chance type of thing, you know. And it did well. I really enjoyed it, and it got us to The Wolverine, you know, the one after, the newest one. But mm-hmm. after this movie, we got X-Men First Class. We got a prequel to the prequel, you know?
We did.
With X-Men First Class. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you did not like X-Men First Class.
I didn't like X-Men First Class because of all the X-Men stuff in it.
Okay.
I recognize it as a well-made movie. I thought that the production design was brilliant. I thought that they did a very good job of making the movie feel like it was in the 60s. I thought a lot of the casting, you know, like McAvoy, I think he was fine. A lot of people want to suck his dick. I thought he was fine. Now, I can't remember his name now. The guy that played Magneto.
Michael Fassbender.
Fassbender, he was brilliant. He was very good in the movie. Jennifer Lawrence was brilliant in the movie. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Hoult? Was that the one that played Beast? He was excellent in the movie.
Yeah, Nicholas Hoult.
I don't remember his name. Yeah, Nicholas Hoult. I thought he was...
January Jones, Alex Gonzalez,
Kevin
Zoe Kravitz.
Bacon was...
For me, you know, we also got Oliver Platt. Don't forget Oliver Platt.
Yeah, he was in it, but fuck that. We got Kevin Bacon.
I always enjoy seeing Oliver Platt, though. He's a fun guy. Sure, but yeah, Kevin Bacon. That's another thing a lot of people don't really give a lot of credit to is Kevin Bacon in this movie. He was a lot of fun. He was a good villain. He was not it wasn't Magneto. You know?
And it also wasn't Footloose the mutant.
Yes.
I mean, he created a good villain in Sebastian Shaw. I mean, he brought his own thing to it, and I like the you know, again, it was a well-made movie, but it was a well-made X-Men movie. And so, therefore, I'm just all like, whatever about it. But there's stuff I liked it. Like, I think I said all that stuff I did like about it. I enjoyed the inclusion of the original costumes. I thought that was nice. I thought it was neat how they managed to do it without them looking stupid.
Yep.
And, you know, and I had and despite my little complaints about it, I did have my little geek out moments, my little geekgasm moments. Like I loved seeing Banshee fly. I thought that was fantastic.
Yes.
There's just all, you know, I mean, it was a well-made movie. I just didn't dig it at all. And you know. If you want to go through the angle of they change shit, I mean this is an all you can eat salad bar of complaints.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't care about that. It was just, you know, to me it was an X-Men movie.
This is a movie that fanboys just froth at, and uh-huh. you know, we've been over our fanboy thing. I don't really want to get into it too much there. But I, you know, this was a good one. This was I really enjoyed it. I do agree with you because you said something about it. Back when it first came out, how the design on the movie, I think, is fantastic. It's, you know, you enjoyed it here and there. I enjoyed it. For me, it's one of those movies, sort of like the first Alien versus Predator, is you just want to shut it off about, you know, 30 seconds before the end of the movie.
Hated the end of this movie.
Because
hated
you had Michael Fassbender, and I, for one, would watch a Magneto Nazi Hunter movie. I would just fucking
Me
watch
too.
That. He is awesome in the movie, and he then shows up at the end in a fucking hokey costume that just doesn't look
awful.
Right. I mean, it looked like he was wearing a shower curtain. It looked like they ran out of money and they just grabbed the curtains and threw them on him and put the helmet on, painted it, and they were done. Because it looked absolutely fucking terrible.
I'm not going to see it ruin the movie for me, but it just put a bad taste in my mouth for the end of the movie.
It didn't ruin the movie for me either, but it was enough to bring me out of it going, oh, why the hell did they do that? You know?
But what was weird about it, Ethan, was it was a really well done scene because they were building up to it. It was going to be the big Magneto reveal. It was going to be, you know, like the big moment of the movie, you know, like seeing Clark Kent at the end of Man of Steel. And then he shows up and he looks like a late 90s action figure.
Yes.
Where the helmet's too big, where the colors are off, where the cape doesn't fit right. I'm just all like, wow, really, guys? You dropped it on that one. And Yeah, it was something else. I'll give it that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a picture of it online, and it the helmet is fine. I mean, the helmet looks great, to be perfectly honest, but everything else was just terrible. You know,
I liked the way the helmet looked before they painted it, though, when it was just Shaw wearing it. I really dug it when it was just like silver on gray. I really liked that look. And I know that Magneto's, it's supposed to be purple and red, but I liked the way it looked just monochromatic. It was just, yeah, I liked it. It looked cool. And I think that was another thing is I liked that look of it. And then they did a shitty paint job on it. And then I'm like, damn it.
Oh, see, and I think the helmet looked fine. The helmet looked fine. It's just the rest of his costume at the end was not great. And we're kind of dwelling at this point, but I totally would see a Magneto's Nazi Hunter movie. Totally.
I would watch that movie
with Michael Fassbender.
I'm not going to let it ruin it for me. I love Magneto. I think I named him as my number one favorite mutant when we did our favorite mutants show.
Yeah, I mean, love Magneto. That's an easy one to go for. I mean, he's a good guy. But the movie in general, enjoyed it, liked it. It is what it is.
It was fine.
I think a lot of people liked it.
Well-made movie that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I do think the people overall do really enjoy that one quite a bit.
Yeah.
I have some anti-Marvel fans that really, really dig this movie. So I think that this one is really well received. And, you know, I'm not screaming off of rooftops, but, you know, I have that thing to say about Magneto's costume and, you know, the rest of it. It's just, you know, it's whatever. You know, it's a well-made movie that isn't for me.
Yeah. All right, and then we get into 2013. We get into The Wolverine. It came out this year. It came out, in fact, like a week ago. I loved this movie, actually. But you told me that it's a good movie based on stuff you didn't care about. So, for the most part,
again, it's a well-made movie that I don't care about. You know,
It's one of those movies that's, you know, very much I knew I would enjoy if it was done right, and I thought it was done right. It was, I mean, I'm really into the Japanese culture and the samurai stuff, and this movie has it in spades. I thought that this movie was the most faithful to the X-Men comics, to be honest.
You think so?
Yes, I think they didn't stray too far from the comic book characters in this, or at least what you remember from the comic book in it.
Compared
to the other movies.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, like they complain. I mean, and I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, like, you know, that they changed what they did change, like. Like, they changed the Silver Samurai's identity, and, there's the whole thing with Yukio kind of being a hipster, or was it, Yukio would being a hipster, then, you know, I mean, it was close, I mean, but they changed some shit, I don't care about it, but they, and, what's her nuts, Viper, they changed the hell out of her.
I didn't think they did, honestly,
She didn't do the poison stuff in the comic books, for one thing.
I don't remember that anyway, but...
Yeah, I mean, they gave... Like, she used to have, like, you know, I think it was, like, enhanced agility and something along those lines, and they just added the poison snake stuff to her.
I think...
And again, I don't care.
Yeah. Now, I think
again,
they...
I don't care.
Do you remember, at any point, did they refer to the... They refer to the Ninja Clan as the Black Hand?
I don't recall. I don't believe they did.
I think they lost the rights to that when they lost the rights to Daredevil, to be honest. So
probably.
That would make sense because it was such a part of the Daredevil Elektra thing.
Uh-huh.
But I thought that was done well. I really like what I thought about the movie was that they at no point did you have to sort of do the Man of Steel thing and just go with the flow. There were logical progressions of the plot, logical progressions from the characters. At no point would you have to sort of go, well, you're just going to have to go along with this because it's in the script.
I dug that it was a sequel of X-Men 3. I like the balls behind that.
I did too.
I enjoyed the balls of that. So
there were balls, but then there were also the sort of okay guys. We are acknowledging it happened, but we're gonna do a few things. Because the whole thing with Professor X at the very end, you know, you're not the only one with gifts.
Away.
Yeah,
and explained away.
I like how they did that. Was like, well, how is this possible? You're not the only one with gifts. Anyway.
But they also might explain it in greater detail in Days of Future Past, because he's gonna have to explain it to more people than just Logan. So
sure, and to me, this is the first non-Marvel Studios Marvel film that felt like a Marvel Studios Marvel film. I think they hit the nail on the head with the tag at the end leading into the next movie. They got that. And, you know, even more so than Amazing Spider-Man, I think. The Amazing Spider-Man was good, but this one felt like a Marvel Studios film. It felt more like that than any of the previous X-Men movies or any of the non-Marvel Studios movies. It felt like they were getting it. They were sort of it gives me a vestige of hope for the Fantastic Four reboot that they're working on, you know, and
that could be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to I hope that it doesn't suck because it's, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. You know that.
Sure.
I really liked this movie. I liked how there were a few that I just liked how the characters really did what you expected them to do. You know, Wolverine doesn't agree to say, yeah, you can take my powers. I don't care. He goes, no. And then they steal his powers. And I like that. It didn't feel out of character for him. You know what I mean?
Right.
At no point in the movie did I have to, was I pulled out of it going, wait a minute, type of thing. I'm not as familiar with the characters that were in the movie from the comics, again, because I was never a huge X-Men fan from the comics at the time, so.
I'm familiar with it. I read a lot of Wolverine. I can't remember what the hell the name of the run is, but the one that it's loosely based off of, but it was Frank Miller's Wolverine run. I don't remember what the hell it was called, but it was loosely based off of that. And they hit some of the same beats.
Yeah.
It's
Would you say that it's loosely based on it, but it's definitely the X-Men movie version of it, the movie universe version?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And like the thing that everyone's bitching about with this one, at least I've been kind of ignoring it because I'm just learning. I just need to keep away from people bitching because it just makes me angry. But the thing about making the silver samurai, a robot suit, and to me it makes sense. You know, nobody's going to stand up against Wolverine unless they have a robot suit
that's made out of adamantium.
Especially a guy that's going to die. You know, like a guy that's, you know, about ready to die, an old guy. And, I've heard the dumbest goddamn complaints. Like, some people are complaining that they made Yukio's hair red. And I was actually thankful they made her hair red because it made her stand out. There wasn't a lot of visually interesting characters in this movie, you know? Mm-hmm. They were Asian-looking people, or they were the Viper chick and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wolverine is traditionally, he's not wearing his yellow stuff and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, it's just whatever. I mean, it was a well-made movie, but I anticipated not liking it because I'm not a fan of Wolverine's time in Japan. There's just something off about it to me, and I've never been able to put my finger on it. It just might be like some sort of, but there's just something weird to me about Wolverine and his biker getup holding a 700-year-old katana. I mean, there's just something about it that doesn't mesh in my brain, and it's very likely my own deficit. But I still have to own it.
Did you like the movie better than the comic book version? Because you don't get that in the movie. I mean, there's no point in the movie where he's running around with the samurai sword, really.
I liked it better because it was only 2 hours versus 15 issues. Okay. But, you know, it was what it was. And, you know, let's ignore the fact that I don't like that point of Wolverine's story, but that doesn't mean I don't think they should do it. It's a big part of the story. People love Wolverine in Japan. I just don't. Mm-hmm. So, and I saw the movie like a good little fanboy, and, because I always felt awful about not seeing the X-Men Origins Wolverine in the theater. And, you know, so I went and saw this mm-hmm. one, and it was what it was, and I'm not angry about it. I think mm-hmm. it's a well-made movie. It seems to be relatively well-received, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
For the most part. I mean, 60 critics are giving it a 67%, audience a 76%, so it seems like the audience is liking it. I've heard a few people gripe about it here and there. I'm sure Tyler hated it, but
I don't think he's bothered seeing it.
My sister didn't like it at all, but I've come to find very quickly that my sister really doesn't like any movie, and they call me a movie snob. So
Rachel didn't like it.
I really liked it. I mean, it's definitely
Rachel
one
said,
I...
Beth Rachel said it was boring, and I understand why it would be boring to somebody
sure.
that, Beth, that doesn't understand this stuff.
Beth and I went and saw it at Cinema Suites, and she absolutely loved it. She thought it was great. And she
yeah,
was...
But,
I think
but
it goes...
Beth are big Asian culture fans.
That's true, but she's
and
not...
And I'm not.
She's not
I'm
heavily
not.
Into the comic books. She's not heavily into these action movies. But she really, really enjoyed it. She really, really liked it. And it... Any movie I can see with my wife and that she enjoys, I'm happy with.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was walking out of the theater after seeing this going, I really want to buy that when it comes out. I really liked it. And I said it, I think I tweeted it. I was like, you know, this, I think Wolverine is the best movie I've seen this summer since Iron Man 3.
I liked, God damn, man. I liked, yeah, I think I liked everything I saw this summer better than this. I mean, I don't know.
But,
I
but
like,
you
you
also recognize whatever. You also recognize it's a good movie. You just it's not
yeah,
for you type of
movie.
Deal. I mean, I've said it numerous times on various things that you know. So I mean, you're saying you don't like it, but it's not saying it's a bad movie. You know,
no, far from it. It was a good movie, well directed, mm-hmm. really nice. Again, really, I mean, it's the same thing I would say about the first class. You know, it was a good movie, well-made movie, you know, nice production design. You know, they cast a lot of the people just dead on, but just not for mm-hmm. me, and that's fine. That doesn't mean I don't want it to exist. That's just not me. So,
yeah, it was a good one, and you know, it's one of those things, one of those movies that I'm huge in the Japanese stuff, and you know, hey, yeah. I really really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the next one, to
Days
of Future Past. I'm honestly trepidatious because Bryan Singer is directing it. I would rather he not be directing it, to be honest, at this point. But I seem to be in the minority over that one.
Everyone's like fucking just crazy excited about this movie.
Yeah,
crazy excited. I'm not. And, you know, I don't particularly have a problem with Bryan Singer directing it. I'm kind of wondering if he's going to be able to hold. I mean, it's going to be a big movie. It's going to be really dense. And I think in a less capable director's hands, it will come across as very convoluted because you're going to be dealing with, you know, old Professor X and young Professor X and, you know, vice versa. And you know, weird timelines. And he's going to have a solid editor behind him and a solid script behind him. And he's going to have to. And, you know, he's going to have to get, like, the right production design so we can definitely tell the difference in the future and the past. And, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I'm also not a big – again, I'm not that big of a fan of the story. You know, like, I that's an X-Men story that I've always thought was hugely overrated. But we'll just have to see what happens. I mean, it's got Peter
yeah.
Dinklage in it. I like him.
Yeah, that gets me excited because he's the villain and –
Yep,
I love him in Game of Thrones, obviously. So I mean, I'm excited to see him in that. I know that's got my wife excited too because she really loves him in Game of Thrones. So, so hey, you know,
we'll get some Sentinel action for sure.
Yes.
Did you see the Trask Industries website where they have the Sentinel commercial?
No, I haven't actually seen the commercial. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, so you know, we'll see what happens. I hope it's good. I always want every movie to be good. So let's see what happens. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do with it. You know, where it leads. You know, maybe we'll get some. I want the Magneto X-Men Origins Magneto movie to happen. That would rock. And, you know, that was something that they have been, you know, kind of teasing. Well, not teasing, but that's something that was on the plate at one point. And I know that Fassbender said he would do it. I know that McKellen said he would do it. So we'll just have to see what happens.
And I would be interested in seeing where they go from the wherever they go from X-Men Days of Future Past. I mean, does that mean they're
gearing up? They can literally go anywhere. They go anywhere.
You know, I mean, old cast, new cast. I'm excited to see what they do. But on this front, I know they have announced that they are working on an X-Force movie. Have you heard this?
Yep, I have heard that. I heard it on Hollywood Babylon, so I took it with a grain of salt. But yeah, I heard it.
No, it's a real thing.
It's a really real thing, huh?
It's a real thing. Let me find the article. Actually, there are a couple articles about it, to be honest.
X-Force is like Cable and shit, right?
Yes. Yeah,
that's going to be right up your alley.
Jeff Wadlow, who did Kick-Ass 2, has been hired to write and possibly direct an X-Force movie. Wadlow and Mark Miller, who is 20th Century Fox's basically their Marvel representative, their coordinator for the Marvel and the X-Men movies for them and the Fantastic Four and all that, who's a good guy to have for it, honestly, they've said it's going to have, they're expecting it to have five members of the X-Force on there. Cable's supposed to be in it, and it's supposed to be based on the 90s, you know, X-Force stuff and not the more recent stuff. So I'm excited. You know how much I love Cable. So I would love to see them not fuck that up. To be honest, but I think it's gonna be
crapshoot, dude.
If 20th Century Fox wants a piece of this Avengers pie, what they need to do is start developing their own universe. And honestly, it's the X-Men universe has been so separated in my mind from the Marvel universe anyway that it makes sense.
Sure.
So, I mean, we can see, I'm perfectly happy seeing, X-Men, X-Force. They could do X-Factor. Hell, there's numerous titles they could do, numerous franchises they could pull out of that if they just got it. And with Wolverine, it seems to me that they're getting it, and it depends on this next movie on Days of Future Past, if that becomes evident. So, we shall see, I suppose. I for one, am excited, and I'm looking forward to next year's X-Men Days of Future Past, and Peter Dinklage as the villain. I mean, hey, he's Peter Dinklage. I'm happy with that.
That will be awesome.
So that's it for, I mean, that's all I've got for X-Men. I think we've sort of touched on it a bit, and it was good to talk about it, honestly. So.
Oh yeah, it's a good franchise, and it's doing what it needs to do. You know, just because I'm not a huge fan of it doesn't mean that, and it doesn't mean that I discount how important it is. It's obviously very important, and I would say it's pretty much single-handedly responsible for, you know, the great comic book movies that we're enjoying these days. I mean, it opened the door for, you know, to give us like the Dark Knight trilogy or, you know, the Avengers and stuff like that. And it's a good series, and I'm glad they're still working at it.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. So, but I think that's about all she wrote for the show, this time around. We're trying to streamline a bit and get us off recording by 9 o'clock, and we're 5 minutes late. But hey, it's close enough.
Oh, right? Well, hey, shit happens. Yep.
Well, as always, it's been fun and entertaining. We'll get this posted at some point, and we will, be putting more stuff out. It'll be awesome.
Yep. It will be awesome.
So, I guess until next time, mutants go home.
Mutants go home.
I got nothing. Damn it. Really. Humans forever, I suppose.
Humans forever. Yeah. Snick, snick, motherfucker.
Told me when I was young, I was born with superpowers. I slick my hair, put some spandex on. There ain't no yellow suits like ours. Government thinks that we're a threat. they don't have the right to say. You can't shoot laser beams out of your head. You might have trouble getting laid. I'm a mutant, not gay. I think I made a mistake, but I'm an X-Man, baby. I was born this way. I'm hide yourself in our school. Iceman keeps it so cool. We are the X-Men, baby. We were born this way. In the Blackbird Flyway, blow your mind just like Jean Grey. Baby, we were born this way. Havoc's gonna save the day with the blast of plasma ray. The X-Men, baby, we were born this way. No mutant can be too ugly or strange. Just look at all the X-Men.
Hey, hey, hey.
But love their powers, love their costumes, and Ha'at Yirvavis in Eichheit on Yiddish. Being a mutant is great, we all internally take. Then make some X-Men babies, yeah, they're born that way. Don't you know who that is? He's the juggernaut, bitch. Dancing mutants, baby, we perform this way. Raise up the claws like Wolverine, or let it out with a banshee scream. Red, blue, steel, or hairy chest, scaly pores, or diamond breasts. If your super abilities killed your friends or families, just lay low with us today, cause baby, you're kinda stuck.
No
this
matter
way.
Good, bad, or both, Team X and Team Magneto, we can be best friends except for that douchebag Pyro. We made a movie again, Wolverine Origin was a fluke, now first class is an epic win. In the Blackbird Flyway, blow your mind, we are the X-Men, baby, we were born this way. We were born this way, hey, we were born this way. The X-Men, baby, we were born this way. We were born this way, hey, we were born this way. The X-Men, baby, we were born this way. We were born this way, hey, we were born this way. The X-Men, baby, we were born this way. We were born this way, hey, we were born this way. The X-Men, baby, we were born this way.